Today on Real Radio.
For he is Jesus. He is our peace. We have access to God because Jesus is our peace. He has made both one, it says here, and he has broken down the middle wall, verse 14, of division between us. And he's talking about Jew and Gentile now, the wall that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. We're talking about fellowship.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. We're also in a series of studies that reveals one of the greatest of benefits to the believer in Messiah, having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We realize that if we don't understand as Christians tonight what Jesus has done, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the book of Ephesians. We're going to miss really any devotion that we're going to embark upon. We're going to miss it. Until we come to a point and to a place that we appreciate what God's done. I'm saddened for the culture and for the place that we live in. We have a very low view of sin. It's tolerated. Even in the Christian church, it's kind of a, well, you know, it's just their thing, or maybe it's their addiction, or maybe like so many advertisements on so many Christian radio stations, which, once I say this again, will never be on a Christian radio station after saying this. If you have a compulsive sexual addiction, then call Dr. So-and-so, a Christian doctor. If you have a compulsive gambling problem, call the Christian Dr. So-and-so. And we throw these things out like it's some kind of a disease. Oh, did you get that thing? I caught it last week. I have. It's a compulsive whatever. No, the Bible calls it sin. And we have been delivered from the power of sin and death through the offering of Jesus Christ. People don't want to hear it today. Because if the gospel is as powerful as the Bible says that it is, if Jesus' blood is as cleansing as he said it would be, then what's our excuse? You see? We are commanded in the Word to forsake unrighteousness and to pursue the righteousness of God. It's what God's put within our hearts to do as believers. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why did he say it? Because the person that is truly converted has a passion to be like Jesus Christ. We fail? Yes, we do. But we hate our failure. Are we guilty? No, we're never guilty. So many people are saying, I don't want to get into this Christian thing because I can't handle the guilt. Listen, you've been fed a wrong line here. You've been given the wrong bit of information. To be delivered from all guilt, you need to become a Christian. Not that you become perfect on this earth, but when you do, when I do fail, we become forgiven through confession because of what Jesus Christ has done. Is it a license to sin? No. But it is a power to live. And because what Jesus did for us, we have access to God boldly. And so we're going to be seeing this tonight. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 13, he says, Paul does, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. For by himself, he, or excuse me, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, who has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the war, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to enmity, that is again the division, we'll talk about it soon. And he came, Jesus, and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Who Paul's addressing is a bunch of believers coming out of the area of Ephesus who previously had been so separated and segregated from the worshipers of God in Judaism that now there was a great dilemma. Jews were getting saved out of Judaism. Really, truly, coming into Christianity was the completion of the Judaism. And pagan Gentiles coming out of their false worship system, they were coming into the church. And we had on one side of the church Gentiles, and on the other side of the church Jews, both of them hailing Christ as Redeemer and Savior, yet being in the four same walls, fellowshipping in the same church, and there was division. The Gentiles on one side, the Jews on the other side, and there was this division. And Paul is going to speak to them tonight. And listen, the temple, it all starts back there. When God gave the blueprints for the temple, there was the layout of the temple court. There was the area of the Gentiles. A Gentile could go there. In fact, they could even almost peer in to what the Jews could experience. There was a court of the Gentiles. Then as you entered closely into the temple area proper, then there's the area, the court of the women. You enter in deeper, and there's this porch where the Levitical priests would sing praises to God. Beautiful place, I would imagine, to be. And as you continue in further, there's the altar of sacrifice and the ramp where the animals were brought up and the blood was spilled, and then the priest was prepared for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then he would enter into the Holy of Holies. But the Gentiles were far removed out, not allowed in. They were segregated. In fact, today we hear a lot about segregation. The blacks over here and the whites over here and the Hispanics over there and the Chinese this way and that way and every which way and all of this stuff. And you know, there's only really one remedy for all of that. And that's Jesus Christ and the unity that he brings. This last week in Russia, there were people that spoke with me. I heard people talking on the streets. I heard it even mentioned one time from the microphone about us Americans or we Americans and you Russians. And you know, that just kind of sends chills up my back because I don't view it like that. We are people who are either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ through his gracious sacrificial offering that he's provided for us, or we are not saved. And it is the greatest healing of any racism that could ever take place is for now what Jesus has done to no longer have the court of the Gentiles and the Holy of Holies on the inside and all of it separated and segregated by walls and veils. He's broken it all down. And he's done it in his flesh. And so we're going to look at several things tonight that hopefully will bring this to light in our hearts, that there's this provision that's been made in Jesus Christ and that we can experience it. The first thing I want you to see is what Jesus has become for us in verse 13. Let's look at it together. It says here, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that's us. Most of us in this room, maybe all of us, were Gentiles according to the flesh. It means that we were not of the Abrahamic covenant. We were not of the children of Israel. We were alienated from the commonwealth, from the promises of God. We were not Hebrew. We did not know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we were cut off. And we experienced our lives separated and afar off, meaning so far from God that we live the way that we lived. I mean, who in here tonight wants to stand up and say how you used to live? I mean, we're embarrassed. Well, this is what I used to do. Man, anybody starts boasting about what they used to do, something's wrong. Yeah, I was such a big sinner, man. Hey, I don't want to think about what I used to be like. And the people who know me don't want to think about how I used to be like. We've been delivered, man. We were once far off. We've been brought near to Him. In Ephesians 2, 13, it starts this thought that he'll wrap up in verse 18, that we have been brought into this place of nearness to God strictly and solely by the blood of Jesus Christ. By His blood. Remember Esther and her story? Remember when Mordecai, her relative, said, "Listen, Esther, you better just kind of shape up and get in there and stand before the king, because all of us Jews are going to die here pretty quick, because Haman has got this cockeyed idea about killing all of us Jews. And I know you're married to the king, but it's going to be found out soon enough that you are a Jew and your head's going to roll with ours. So you best get in there before your husband, the king, and you better tell him the story." And she prayed and she sought the Lord. And remember the great line, he said, "Hey, you know what? You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this." It's a great, great story. Well, remember when she came in, and it's mentioned that if the king, who was her husband, even, did not raise the scepter at her appearing, that there were, and you've seen this in movies like The King and I. Isn't that a great movie, The King and I? "So let it be written, so let it be done." And he slaps his hand with that great bald head of his. You know, what's his name? Yul Brynner. Well, right on each side of Yul Brynner are those guys with swords. You know why those guys are standing there? It was like that in every palace of every kingdom. It's like that today. Try walking into the White House without an invitation. They were standing there, and if the king did not raise his scepter to that person entering in, without a word, those guys pulled out those swords and lopped off the person's head. That was the protocol. The pavement that was before the king was usually crystal, marble, or melted glass that they would pour over. It was incredible in most kingdoms of the world. It's an archaeological fact. And so when the king raised the scepter, that you were allowed to come in and speak to him freely. If he didn't raise the scepter, your head would roll. Can you imagine? And Esther was married to a guy like that. But he loved her. He saw her come in and he held his scepter up. And she came on in and told the story. "Listen, the Bible says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, our peace, Messiah. Jesus Christ, so to speak, raised the scepter on our behalf, allowing us into the presence of God. We've had communion tonight. We've had access to God strictly by what is symbolized here tonight, the bread and the cup. He's done this great work for us. Jesus' scepter is dipped in blood. That's how we enter in. We have access into the kingdom by Him alone." Look what it says. It says here in verse 14, "For He Himself is our peace." In the Greek, this is tremendous language. It means that He alone is our peace. We cannot. The word means we cannot find peace anywhere else. Have you tried? Bought a new car? Oh, I feel great. Not for long. Somebody, I was away. I didn't get a chance to meet you. Maybe you're here tonight. You got a new car. And we got a new car. And our new car seemed to have wanted to get together with your new car. And so now there's a big dent in your car. And where's your peace? Where's our peace? Insurance company, rates, and all that. Hey, what's going on? Out the window, peace. Listen, Jesus says, "The peace I give you is not of this world. It's a peace that transcends." So the things that happen to us in our lives daily, listen, He is our peace. And it's accomplished in Him. This word peace, if any of you have the name Irene, that's the name of the word in Greek, Irene. Isn't that neat? This is what it means. For He Himself is our Irene, our emphatic, strong, deep quietness of the soul, a deep rest and hope. That's who Jesus is to us who believe. Wow, I need that. I need that now. Ephesians 6:15 tells us that we are to have our feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of Irene, peace. We are to go out around the world and we are to give out peace by the gospel of God. It's absolutely amazing to me that we can stand and open the Bible and we can do it out on the street corner right out here, or we can do it on a street corner around the world. And I can't explain it. None of us can explain it, how you can talk to somebody and be speaking to them. And you've got to, first of all, as a human being, get past their countenance, their face. And that happened this last week. I remember seeing this guy, and he looked pretty stern. But let's just go for it anyway, you know? And all of us have this face that we wear, this face that we have. Some of us have been stuck with this face, and there's nothing that we can do about it. And, you know, we so often just say, well, hey, I'm doing great. How are you? Oh, just great. And we just lie right straight through our teeth. You know, great. And you walk away and you start crying. You know, saw this man in Russia, and he's standing listening, and his face is stern looking. And I still to this moment don't understand what happened. But we started talking to him, and he had some questions. It sounded like he wanted to fight, but he just wanted some answers. And we were going along and going back and forth. He's a beautiful man. I think his name was Victor. Well-groomed guy, probably 60-something years old. And anyway, we were talking and talking. And I don't remember how the dialogue went, but it came down to the fact that access to God was through Jesus Christ alone, and that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that He loves you. And that's what he had to hear. And he just stopped the conversation right there. Thank you very much. And he walked away. And it was so strange, because usually when people walk away from that kind of encounter, it's like they're giving up on you and up on the gospel, and they're walking away. And not this man. There, something happened. Did he get born again? I don't know. I don't think so. Is he going to get saved? I don't know. Something just happened in that moment where he had a change on his face and he walked away. It was so sudden. He didn't bow his head and close his eyes while the bus waited and accepted and the thousands came forward. It wasn't that kind of a thing. I don't know what happened to him. But something happened. And his face had changed. Was he saved? I don't know. But how is it that we can give black and white printed words off of a book that changes the lives of people around the world and in our own homes and in our lives? It's unbelievable. Jesus Himself is our peace. Do you have so much peace? Have you had somebody ever say, I've got so much peace, I can't handle any more peace? Oh, I'm so full of God's love. Please, God, don't give me any more love. I can't love any more than... Man, listen, we need His peace. And the reason why we are so often depleted in our peace department is because we haven't spent the time with Him that we need to spend with them. He's our peace. Do we know it? Do we understand that? We need to experience it and live it. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says this. Man, is this a great verse for us? We should have this on our bumpers of our cars. He says, be anxious for nothing. How'd you like to have that on the 55 freeway at 6 o'clock? Isn't that great? Be anxious for nothing. That's enough to just send you to the grave right there, driving on the freeway. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the Irene, same word, peace, the deep, strong quietness of the soul will come of God to you, which surpasses all understanding. You can't comprehend it. Just a peace that is so deep. And by the way, he says in verse 7, it will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. Peace. He's our peace. And that song, by the way, is coming from this text that we're looking at tonight. For he is Jesus. He is our peace. We have access to God because Jesus is our peace. He has made both one, it says here, and he has broken down the middle wall, verse 14, of division between us. And he's talking about Jew and Gentile now, the wall that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. We're talking about fellowship. And this is tremendous. Get a load of this. In 1897 and in 1934, two archaeological expeditions uncovered the platelets that had an inscription, two of them. One of them tonight is in the Museum of Antiquity in Istanbul, and the other one is in the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem. You can go see it. A couple hours. You can get on an airplane tonight and go see the thing if you don't believe it. That was suspended there in Jerusalem that Paul was talking about right here in your Bible on your lap. The wall of division. And they found it. And it was written on both sides. This is what it says. No Gentile may pass beyond the barricade that surrounds the sanctuary and this enclosure. Anyone who does so shall be responsible for his own swift death. Love. You know. How would that make you feel? How would you feel about that? You're a Gentile. You've heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You want to come and worship him, and there's this sign that says, you pass this line as a Gentile, and you're going to bleed. Eesh. So you know what they did? Literally, Josephus tells us, an eyewitness, a non-believer, historian, he said they would get right to the line. The Gentiles who longed for God would get right to the line, and they would just kind of look in there. You ever seen kids, like, you drive by Disneyland, and you're not going there that day? It's really a sad sight. The Gentiles are like this, wanting to know him. And there's this wall.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. It's part of a mini-series called Having Access to God. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us for that. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that he is an historic figure. He walked the earth around 2,000 years ago and had been awaited for thousands of years before that. So to help you better understand more about history's most influential figure, you should take advantage of our current offer. It's Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, its political climate, even the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so on. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.